And welcome back. It is Monday, October the 12th, 2020, and I am delighted to be with you today. The time needs to change because my, oh my, it is dark and gloomy out there. I'm happy to be with you on this kind of dreary Monday morning here in the valley. It's been raining, started raining yesterday. So anyway, maybe it'll clear up. Friday, I had a great afternoon. I went up to Monterey and to Bluegrass, and the leaves are changing up there like crazy. And so it was good to go up there. I got to see Gene as well, which is a wonderful thing. I hope that you took some time this weekend to do some things that were enjoyable. And yes, indeed, it is Columbus Day, and happy Columbus Day to you, Monica. Good morning, Christine. You know, Columbus is a fascinating character. We're in the midst of the Great Awakening. I don't know who said that first, but whoever said it, man alive, that's witty and clever. Not awakening, awokening, where people are woke to all of the social justice issues and everybody is, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are down on Columbus. And, you know, it's interesting because with this great shift in social justice and all of these things, people talk all the time about, oh, how we need to be more European. Let me tell y'all something. I spent some time in Seville, all right, which is where Columbus set sail, also where Columbus's body is interred. And it's in the Cathedral of Seville there in Spain. And it's absolutely stunning. I know it's his grave, but it's just unbelievable. And let me tell you, quit talking about being more like Europe because they love the guy in Spain, okay, as they should. Was he involved in some wrongdoings? Yes, absolutely. Did he have incredible courage and boldness to do what he did? Yes, absolutely. Does this mean I enjoy murder and all of those other things? No, it doesn't. Y'all, not everything has to be about the extremes, okay? Happy Columbus Day indeed. I, for one, am glad that Columbus sailed. In fact, I think as a result of his work, the Lord used that ultimately to be a blessing to the whole world. I hope that that does not end up turning on its head, though, in our current activities in the Great Awakening. There's your political comment for the day. It's good, again, to be with you all this morning. I see Alice is joined. Good morning. And there's Dawn. Good morning. And Rose. Welcome to you all and to all the others that are joining us live. Welcome to you if you happen to be joining us some other time, or maybe you're on sermon audio. That's a wonderful thing, too. I'm glad that we are here together whenever it happens to be that we're together, because we come today to the second miraculous sign. You remember, we talked about this before. In the Gospel according to John, the term sign is used for the miraculous works of Jesus. And that's for a specific purpose. Are they miracles? Yeah, absolutely they're miracles. But more importantly, these things that Jesus is doing, they really are signs. Because remember what the value of the sign is. The value of the sign is not the sign itself. Not saying that the sign itself isn't important. Okay, the example I used before is the stop sign at the end of Old B&O Road, just down the way from me here. If I decide to blow through that stop sign, right, the sign itself is not going to uproot and you know, ram through my engine block and make sure that my car stops. That's not how that thing works, right? But what the sign points to, right, the reality that the sign points to, that's what's so important. That's what is of such great value. Same principle is going on here right now. Let me see something here. I've got to take care of something. Stephen and Daniel, quit talking back and forth so much. You're popping up in my chat window here. Hold on a second. Oh, well, I can't do anything about it. I'll just have to tell them to stop some other time. Anyway, let me take care of this. Excuse me for just a second. There we go. All right, now, back to what I was saying. The value is not the sign, it's what the sign points to. That's the case with these things that Jesus is doing here. Now, to be blunt about it and to be fair about it, I'm not saying that there is no value here for the people that receive these signs. As we're going to see today, the sign that Jesus gave here to the official son obviously was life-altering for the official and for the official son. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. But the point is what Jesus is really pointing to. Okay, and that's why what we come to today has a false obvious meaning. And then an obvious meaning, and I'll explain as we get to it. So we're in John chapter 4, starting in verse 43. This is what the Lord's word says. It says, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Some translations say that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. That's a fascinating little saying there, right? It means that if you're from somewhere, people are going to look at you as though you are not the prophet, as though you are not this official. It's just, oh, well, hey, there's Jesus over there. Yeah, I remember when Jesus was a kid. That's what this is talking about, all right? So after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee. Does that sound familiar? It should. Where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Now, this is where the fascinating thing is here. There is a false obvious meaning of what's being revealed here, and there is an obvious meaning. All right, I'm going to go with the false obvious right now. Jesus said, verse 48, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. All right, the false obvious. Y'all, how do I say this wisely? Just because something is true that we can gather from the scripture, it does not mean that that true thing is the point of the passage. Is that confusing enough? Let me explain. Oftentimes, what we hear explained about these parables and the application and the words spoken about these things, particularly with this parable, is that the focus becomes the end of verse 50, where it says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Preachers and writers and authors, they've made all sorts of hay over this one statement. And they have said, aha, see here, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And then Jesus healed the man's boy. And so they make the meaning of the end of John chapter 4 all about the false or the false obvious, which is that Jesus has the power to heal. Now, all right, understand this. Like I just said, just because something that you can interpret from a passage or something you can draw out from a passage is true, it doesn't mean that's the meaning of the text. Yeah, it is true. Jesus has the power to heal. Absolutely, without a doubt, Jesus had the power to heal. But y'all, that's the false obvious point of this passage that we've read today. Because it's true, I don't mean to discourage you. OK, I know that My goodness, life is full of all sorts of twists and turns. And I do not doubt that many of the people that maybe you're listening to this right now, maybe you'll find this at some point. I mean, anywhere from 200 to 300 people are going to be listening to this just based on the other numbers that I've seen on here. But nevertheless, you may have a situation in your life where real, actual healing is needed, where the Lord's intervention is required in your medical situation or some other situation, and you need the Lord to step in. It is true. God has that power. Okay? And I'm not trying to discount that. And you ought to be praying about that. And if I can pray for you about that particular subject, let me know and I would be delighted to do so. Okay? But all of that being said, while that's true, that's not the point here. All right. The point of this going on, you got to go back to verse 48. The point is not the power of God and being able to heal people. The point is what the sign points to. Remember, there's a reason why verse 54, this was the second miraculous sign. What is the sign pointing to? It's not pointing to the power of God. Okay, it is inadvertently, but that's not the main issue here. The main issue, you got to go back to verse 48 when it says, and this is Jesus speaking, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Y'all, the point of this sign, this miracle, this wonder, is not to reveal the power of God, though it does. The point of this is to point to Jesus' authenticity as the Messiah. And the whole reasoning behind this, the reason Jesus says this, almost in a tone of frustration, and if you know what's going on in the rest of the gospel, and if you've read the other gospels, you know that Jesus says stuff like this all the time. He says it to his disciples. Oh, you of little faith, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this mountain, move over there, and it would move. Jesus goes through this all the time. You have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. You know, over and over and over again throughout his ministry here on earth, Jesus is not just trying to spread the message that God is really powerful and can change your life in terms of working miracles and that sort of thing. He can, but that's not the point. The point is placing your faith in him. Should you be encouraged in reading John 4 to know that God has the power to heal? Absolutely. But the main point of this is for you to behold Jesus, the Christ, God the Son in the flesh that made his dwelling among us. And the fact that what Jesus has done here yet again shows him to be exactly who he said he was. It shows him to be exactly the one that is described in John 1:1 through 18, the living Word, God the Son, made his dwelling among us. And so, as a result, because he is who he said he is, instead of getting wrapped up in the fact that this man took Jesus at his word, which was a good thing, but don't make any mistake about this, the man still didn't believe. We find out that they don't actually believe until he gets home and he sees that Jesus did these things. That's when they place their faith in him. That's not the point. The point is for you and me to read these things and to believe. And y'all, for us to not be like the official, for us to not be like the disciples and the Galileans and all these other people that demanded a miraculous sign. After all, if you're looking for a miraculous sign, look no further than all the ones that are on display before you. Now, does that mean that Jesus is not still doing wonderful, amazing things? Obviously not. I'm sure that if we had a session at some point and y'all could join me some way, somehow, we could all talk about all the wonderful, amazing things that we have seen Jesus do. And that would be a glorious thing. But y'all, We're not really in the position to demand a sign. We're not in the position to tell God, hey, prove it that you are worthy of my devotion. In his loving mercy, he has proven it. And you, again, you probably have examples in your own life that you can point to where God has proved his authenticity. But y'all, the reality of all of this is for us to believe, the point of all this is for us to see and to believe, to place our faith in Christ, trusting that he is good to his word. So the question is, do you do that? Not have you done it, but are you doing it? Last night in youth group, I've since Mitchell Sutton has gone to the Army to be a chaplain, and I know he's doing great things. I tell you, we were blessed by him in so many ways, but I started teaching the youth now. I've kind of taken over the youth group at this point. And as I talked to the kids last night, Christianity is not about some one-time thing that you did once upon a time. Christianity, being a follower of Christ, is about what you're going to be doing the rest of today. It's about what you're going to be doing tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And the call for us from John chapter 4 and from the rest of the gospel is to turn our lives over to the Lord, to read these things, to believe them, and to follow Jesus. Are you doing that? Or are you, like the Galileans, demanding just one more sign, just one more sign? In the words of one of my favorite hymns, How Firm a Foundation, what more can he say than to you he has already said? Keep those things in mind. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you so much for the power of your word, for the fact that you put your power on display in Jesus' acts and in so many other ways. Father, help us to be people that believe without the demand for seeing. For we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is easy to get mixed up on. As we read your word, as we go through the gospel, it's easy to just pick up the false obvious meanings. Yes, it's true that you have the power to heal, but the point is that's not the point of this passage. The point is to encourage us to believe, to have faith, and not require signs. Nevertheless, we thank you for the signs that you have given. Help us to be faithful. Draw us to yourself right here at the start of this new week. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time. Thank you for your patience as I was dealing with my technological issues there. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And hopefully you will be here too. I look forward to the week that lies ahead for us. Until tomorrow, I hope that everybody has a wonderful day.